Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the number one Sydney FC podcast in the country, Sky Blue Stories. I am your host this week, Sean Maloney. Jonathan's out with five yellow cards. Jules' FIFA regulations has meant that he can't make it with this week's episode. And Nick, I think he's still categorizing, alphabetizing his Michael Jackson collection. But rest assured, we have Michelle's superfan, Morris, in the hosting chair. So, Michelle, how you doing?
Great. I believe Nick is out with delayed concussion symptoms.
Delayed concussion. It's going around the Sydney FC camps. It's
Yeah. They're all running into the same wall.
But a genuine question, just on a side note, like we've had, who had that last week? Well, JK's had it, I think, about a couple of times now. We've seen the pop up on the ins and outs list. Was it Shay the other week, or am
no,
I?
No, it was
Taylor. Somebody blonde.
Taylor Ray and Abby Lemon.
What's yes, Abby. I knew it had blonde hair. It, they, there. When you're amongst them, can you dig and find out what on earth? Like how? Like I've played. You've played football many a times. You've had many a trainings up there with the Wakehurst Tigers.
Yep.
Has anyone ever gotten concussed in all the trainings you've witnessed and been a part of?
Not in the trainings. I believe Taylor Ray's one and Abby's one were both from the game against the Mariners.
Oh, the Wednesday night. Yeah, who got pummeled?
Yeah. Taylor Ray.
Yes, okay. All right. Yeah. She's got a genuine excuse, though, but Jaden's, I don't know. He's going up for a header or something like that, clicking with the keeper. But look, important question, though. I just want to bring this up on my phone. Important question for you, Michelle. Who scored the late equaliser in the first minute of Big Blue?
Not this. Sorry, this. You know I didn't answer any of those questions except for like one.
You got that? Were you abstained from the others, or you only got one right?
No, no, I abstained from all of them except for one of them.
And what was that one?
It was who scored the hat trick in the women's 6-3 last year.
Princess.
Yeah.
Princess, yes.
Yeah.
But this one stumped me. Just before we get into our big episode this week, maybe I'm getting a bit petty and old and grumpy as I near 40. Who scored the late equaliser in the first men's Big Blue? And I'm like, that's a long time ago. Like, but, and I got confused. It was poorly worded question. What it should have said is, you know, who scored the late equaliser in the first men's Big Blue to be hosted or to be played on Australia Day? Because, you know, technically we've been having Big Blues since the A-League started back in 05, yeah, since its conception. Yep. So, late equaliser, first men's Big Blue to be hosted on Australia Day, because that's now the traditional game. And the I think the answer was, well, the answer, like the graphic, the image, it kind of
Seb Ryle
gave it away, like a hot knife through butter. Yes, good old Seba.
I think they do that to make it easier.
Yes, I reckon some people still got it wrong, particularly me, who I blame the poorly worded question. Very poorly worded question. But
we'll up your game, Robbie.
Yes, Robbie. Yes, very, yeah. Now, because I've got another gripe to do with Sydney FC coming up and around the grounds, which will kick off now. Two more years, Michelle, of Joseph Lolly.
Yep.
Happy doing cartwheels.
Me?
Yes.
Am I?
Yeah. Are you pleased with that kind of signing news?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great for us, great for the league. I think considering that some other clubs were trying to steal him away from us and he clearly said no, and you know, he's obviously happy at the club and happy to be playing for Sydney. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's great for us.
It is you know, he's got a very good resume. He's a proper, you know, English player. Not quite Premier League, but did he ever play Premier League? But certainly with his Nottingham Forest, player of the season, I think, before they got promoted. I think he's been our best player in the season and a half now that he's been with us. I thought he was unlucky not to get player of the season. Probably could have been Max as well if maybe weren't for the card in the qualifying in a semi-final against City. But I think Joe, talking about this season, he's been our best, most consistent performer. He's scoring goals, he's assisting, and I just find that his engine room, his work ethic out on the pitch. Does he make mistakes? Sure, but I find with Joe, it's never from a lack of effort or lack of hunger. So really stoked, and I think Joe loves the North Bondi lifestyle. I think he's grown quite accustomed to it, Joseph. If I had a dollar, I'm just bitter and jealous, but if I had a dollar for every time I've seen an Instagram post and reel or whatever the kids do these days with him looking over the ba of his balcony in North Bondi, I'd be rich.
Every post,
Every
everything on a story is the beach. It's like we get it. You live in Bondi. All right.
You're at Ravisi's every second time
It's
and
like
protocol.
every English person who's ever moved to Australia, they live in Bondi and they post the same photo. So he's really living up to the stereotype.
And he was on time for that press conference, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely on time. Definitely not like 20, 30 minutes late when I was starving. I
And
should
you
have just like told Dave Warren to like ask him to bring me like a banana or an apple.
know. Something from Campbell Parade, and then on a porter there, or at least a New Zealand ice cream. But look, moving on a little bit, I'm hoping Jono posts this. I've been nudging him to do so. Maybe after he listens to this, he will. Our wonderful co-host, Julian Bumbuck, his mother-in-law knitted in an impressive array of Sydney FC scarves over the years, Premier scarves. I think there might be a Cove one or two in there. And Jonathan, hurry up and post this because I think it needs, to be seen there in the public domain. But a very lovely scarf blanket for his little one, Evie Evangeline. So when she's at games cheering on her beloved Sky Blue, she'll be very nice and warm with her mother and probably, well, I won't say father because he's probably pissed and drunk somewhere, probably up in a corporate box. Because Jules has been to two games this season, both have been in the corporate box. So Jono, post that to Twitter. Another little bit of extra news talking about, well, not signings, but a debut for Hayden Matthews at centre back. Tall Timber, another academy product, gets some minutes. But that was a nice little touch by Ufi when we were up well and truly to send Hayden Matthews and to join the centre back. We've had some very good centre back stocks at Sydney FC, Michelle, with the likes of Aaron Gerd, but previously, and these players moved on, like Nathan Grimaldi and the Nathan Grimaldi was his first name, and Paul, who went over the Central Coast. His first name is gone from me, but very good for him. And specifically for A-League Women's, Michelle, we've had a couple of updated fixtures for the women's game. Do you know much about that, or?
I think, oh wait, hold on. Let me have a gaze.
One's been brought forward or back earlier. So that's our Melbourne City game. It
Oh
was
yeah.
initially Sunday the 11th, and now it's to Sunday the 10th of February. Same place, same time. Any idea why it's been changed? We get one last day to kind of
No
train.
clue. Could be just something to do with the ground availability or something like that.
Because there's never any ground issues in the A-League Women's ever.
Never.
And the other one is just
It's been pushed back.
I think with time.
Yeah.
Same Saturday night against Western United over at Leichhardt, but as opposed to a 4 o'clock, now it's a 7 o'clock. Why? But look, that might work out nicely. I know it's March, good old Smarch weather in autumn, but maybe that will help with the heat or something like that, even in
I think
March.
so.
Yeah, so where was I with this run sheet? But this last gripe, and I'll kind of pass this to you, or certainly get your thoughts and opinions with the did you go to this? No, you didn't go to this. The exclusive Members Day for
I
Sydney.
did.
You did.
I did.
I didn't because I didn't get invited, and there was a reason for that. But how was this exclusive Members Day for Sydney FC A-League Women's members?
It was Yeah, it was fine. There was definitely a lot more people at this one than there was last year. So when we did it last year, it was at Cogra.
Prior to
and
a game.
Yeah. And so we did a little tour of, so last year it was like a tour of Cogra, a Q&A with Ante, and because Nat was serving a suspension for a red card, she was there, and so she did like a little Q&A as well. And fun. Then we did like, so me and Michelle Prasad both went on the field, did like a crossbar challenge at halftime. So that was at
I
last year's one.
That. I witnessed that. That was
Terrible.
Riveting.
It was terrible. Anyways, lots of prizes to be won as well, but regardless. So this year's one, because obviously we're not playing any games at Cogra, we're playing at Leichhardt, so it was like a tour of Leichhardt, of the change rooms, which is not very impressive. In fact, it is a hole. Yeah. Like, it is, yeah, it's not very nice. We did walk in to hard style music being played in the change room.
What's
I want to say
style? Sorry, the
hard style, like music.
Hard style.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm a boomer.
Yeah.
Know what hard style is?
It's like techno music.
Like, yeah, you know, like I'd go to a rave and like,
yeah,
a couple of eckies. Okay, hard style. I'll have to Google that.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, yeah, definitely not Ante's decision. But we were getting there as the girls were arriving as well. So, you know, it was trying, there's like a lot of people in the one area. It's a very small space. I was like, this, I don't know. It was very entertaining. Saw Ante, so we, you know, said hi to him and saw Jordan Thompson as she was going in. She was like, wow, you guys are here early. And I was like, the members there. She's like, oh, okay. Anyways, then we did a Q&A with Ante and a Q&A with Nat, and they had the two trophies out as well. But yeah, this one was a lot bigger than last year's. A lot more people, which is great. It means that the memberships have obviously grown a lot since last year. And then, yeah, there were prizes to be won, but no crossbar challenge this year.
Thank God.
Yeah. The weather, I think, was too hot for it as well. But, yeah, I think overall, pretty good.
The other girls are part of the Q&A, like I don't know, your Margot or the girls that come along part of the squad but don't make the match sheet. I want to say
some of them were there, they weren't really part of the Q&A, but there was some girls that were there. Awesome. And then the academy girls, those who were part of the development program, they were, some of them were there like helping volunteer and, you know, tell us, like the fans, on where to go and where to keep moving. So they were kind of involved in that, which was really cool, I think, as well, to try and get them to see, you know, who the fans are and you know, see who the members are. So I thought that was, you know, it was fun. And I thought it was also funny because I'm like, yeah, just get the academy kids to do the free labor. But yeah, I think overall it was a pretty solid day. And obviously a good result in the end. But like, yeah, I think the members' day is, I like that we are now consistent with it, that we did it last year and we're doing it again this year. And so I hope that, again, we do it next year.
And like, I could have been there. I could have been at the members' day, but and so could have Jonathan. But we weren't invited, which is pretty shit. There was an issue with, something in an area with the marketing tool that didn't send to like the likes of me that have the A-League Women's as an add-on as opposed to like an exclusive. So there was a bit of an issue with every single person who has access to the A-League Women's Sydney FC side of the membership. So there was a bit of an issue there. So hopefully they clean that up and do better for next season, because like, hell, I'd like to see some of that as well and get in amongst it, even if Leichhardt is falling apart a little bit.
I'd like it if they did it at Allianz next year.
Oh, how much better would that have been?
Yeah,
like
Leichhardt is seriously terrible. It is a hole.
It is a piece of shit. And yeah, do it at Allianz with the beautiful change rooms and all that kind of recovery rooms and
yeah.
Yeah, down there in the tunnel as they run out and stuff like that. Yeah, it would have been a 10 times better experience. Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of Leichhardt Oval, we'll launch into the review of A-League Women's, the Sydney FC game. And we will touch on Central Coast. We haven't forgotten about that game midweek. Drama, drama, drama. A lot happened in the space of 4 days, and from torrential or somewhat torrential rain, shitty
It was
conditions.
pretty bad.
Shitty conditions on Wednesday night to extreme heat on Sunday, and lots of drama in amongst that. We had a 2-1 win against the Jets at Leichhardt. A couple of school kids scored the goals for us in Casper's the Friendly Ghost and Zara Kruger. Michelle, you had pole position up there in the stands. Before we deep dive into the game and the nitty gritty of it, just like some overall, how did you feel watching the game, and not passing out in the heat?
I'm very frustrated that the post was in the way, and that we just couldn't get the ball on target in the first half. And then the second half, it was like, yes, we scored. Lovely. Love this. And it stands. And then just pure relief at the end. Like, it was just the sense of like, oh, we finally did it. Because we hadn't won at Leichhardt. We haven't won at Leichhardt all season. So it was just like this relief that like, okay, we finally got that win here at this stadium now. So now let's keep building on that. But yeah, pure relief.
But how often does that happen with with even teams that I support in and out of the A-League, in that you'll dominate the first half, you'll dominate the opening proceedings, you'll go close, half chances, nick the post, etc., and then they go up the other end, get one and only chance and fucking score. Granted, it was a very good header. I kind of blame the bit of the distribution from Jada there. But it would have been like one thing I put in the run sheet was just how proud I was of the girls' resilience and character. To have them being dicked over on Wednesday night by the referee, and how the Central Coast game panned out in the last 10 odd minutes, to draw and then to only be screwed over by the ref with the 2-1 result, to then concede the first goal like that. You could have understood if they kind of just like fallen in a heap and go fuck,
Yeah.
but the girls fought back really gallantly. Nice subs, and Fenton working her beastly magic was absolutely amazing. But like you said, we started off fairly well, and Mackenzie had a goal disallowed, for what I would say maybe was a questionable offside, but
Don't think she was offside.
don't think she was offside.
No.
And
From what I've heard from everyone else, people who were watching the game as well at home or whatever, yeah. She was not offside.
maybe that's an like you put that down to the linesman, or is this an argument that VAR should be in the women's game as well? Like, love or hate technology, and yeah, it can be a bit of a pain and sometimes sticks its nose in when it could or shouldn't, but VAR would have cleared that up.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there was a moment where the referee put a hand up, the center ref put a hand up for an offside. But like the lineswoman, the assistant referee, they did not put their flag up. And like I don't think this was the goal, but this was like another moment in the game. And I was just like, what? Like, why are you calling the offside? Like, is that your position to do that? It was just a bit weird. I just think the refereeing this year has been abysmal. It has been terrible. And yeah, I think the Hawk is very unlucky to not let that goal stand.
But like I said earlier, it was only a few minutes later that Bolton opened up the scoring. Like, I don't mean to point fingers, but it was really poor distribution from Jada straight to a Jets player. And then there was some finger pointing at Kirsty, because the cross came from her and she didn't quite close it down. But that momentum of keeper playing it out and then the defenders having to turn and change and chase it back, was not easy, but I bloody, was a very nice header nonetheless, as much as it pains me to say. But then we just hit post after post after post. So Courtney had a great game. I think it was her best game since being back from injury. She had a full 90, well, full 90 minutes, and she did everything but score. She went, within millimeters of scoring. Very unlucky that Court didn't get onto the match, onto the score sheet.
I think they're just some of the teams are just figuring her out. Like, I think a lot of the game plans will probably be like, don't let Courtney get the ball, like, and don't let her even have the chance to run onto it, because she's obviously got the pace. So if they shut the play down before we try and get the ball to Courtney, like, that's a lot of our game plan kind of gone. So I think we're really lucky that, like, we do have other goal scorers now as well. But yeah, I think Courtney's very unlucky. I mean, hitting the post three times is not fun.
Yeah, maybe she needs just to kind of vary up her game a little bit, because she more than often will go try and beat the person on the outside,
Yeah.
and good defenders will know just to put a couple extra yards of space and just, force them towards the sideline. Or if she's going to shoot, okay, she's going to shoot from that kind of outside angle. So, Court, maybe, try and take that touch in a bit and look for space on the inside as well. So she hits a post twice within the first half, goes very close, but then young little Maddie Caspers, and credit to Courtney, she wasn't scoring them. She set this one up with a lovely little chip to the back post, where, Courtney volleyed it, hit the post again. But recovers it well enough, and be able to see, pardon the pun, but Maddie kind of ghosts to the back post, and then just lovely, just put it on a dime there for Maddie just to knock it in at very close range. Couldn't be happier for Maddie Caspers, because everyone listening, watch this name, look out for her, because she's going to be going places.
It was insane. The place just absolutely erupted as well. It was so good. Sense of relief again, We got a goal. Happy with that. But yeah, nah, she's gonna be a star.
We probably won't have her for too much longer. But yeah, lovely work from Indiana, finding Courtney at the back post, fortunate to go in, but then just be able to, turn things on a dime and be able to set things up for Caspers, was fantastic. And then it all went off in the 96th minute. Nice little bit of a little bit interplay with a combination between Kirsty and Macca. And then Kirsty just, first time through ball, lob over the top for Zara to run onto, and the finish wasn't easy. Keeper's coming out, she's about on the 18-yard box, give or take a little bit, and kind of it was very similar to Courtney's goal from 2 weeks ago at Allianz, very similar-ish. Keeper coming out and then and pushing it past the keeper, but you guys would have gone absolutely nuts. I bet you wouldn't have much of a voice left.
I think I jumped on top of like Reg and Jude, because yeah, that was, oh, what a relief. Just so good. But yeah, I don't know what to say. It was just, it was perfect timing.
Deserve 3 points. I know part of
Yeah.
the reason the bias, but we were the better team on the day. I think 2-1 flattered Jets a little bit. But look, when we've got no Fiona, no Lucy, no Nat, no Taylor, it's probably another name that was missing from the match sheet, from the team sheet that day as well. But that fight, the resilience, the character of the girls to be able to just, push through and persist through 90 minutes, and not to give up, quite literally pushing the girls now into second, I believe, sitting in outright second. I don't know.
This is
Huge
on goal difference as well.
goal difference. which is huge, you know, with the trials and tribulations this team has seen, both going into this season with, you know, quite a turnover of players and moving on, Rachel Lowes, Mackenzie, I can still say, Charlie, Maddie, etc. Lose your captain in the first game with an ACL, and the other peppered injuries throughout this season we've seen with the likes of Fiona and Lucy, and still sitting in second. That's an incredible achievement.
Absolutely. I think the like you said, like the resilience of this team is unreal. And I think what's really good is that they're not backing down. And I think that's really fun to watch.
Yeah. And to have a couple of kids and 16, 7-year-olds, the youngest team in the league, to be sitting in second with a couple of kids scoring the goals was huge. But we'll also a little quick mention of the 2-1 loss, which could have, should have not have been the case. Watching that at home on Wednesday night, I was absolutely appalled at the refereeing decision that allowed Central Coast to snatch a win. Undeservedly, with their aggressive play, their play acting, their bullshit tactics. It's probably because they have a British coach. But the refereeing decision with since when, if a player's horizontal, a bit like what happened overnight with the Uzbeki and Socceroos game, with that, I don't know, that wasn't a handball, but when a player is horizontal, you know, and has slipped and is looking to put their hand to the ground, and the ball gets kicked into their foot or leg, only to then ricochet and hit somebody's arm. Like, that's not a handball.
It's also like the ball wasn't even going towards goal. Like it just kind of hit her leg and went into her arm.
Yeah.
Like,
And the arm's not going towards the ball. She's not necessarily trying to make, like, it's a natural position and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, I know referees, you know, they're only human and all, but I just find in the A-League's women's that some a lot of referees just don't have that kind of instinct or intuition of how to interpret the rules, the laws of the game at different times, but can only get better, I hope. So, but look, well done to the girls to bounce back from that really shitty result, take it in their stride, and then, you know, walk out on Sunday in stupid heat to get a 2-1 victory at home at Leichhardt in front of their roaring fans. So well done, girls. But the night before, no, we're there Friday night. Sorry, Friday night at Allianz, the men also played Newcastle Jets, which was another 6-point weekend with a 4-0 win at home against the Jets with a double to Max Lolley, and of course Paddy Wood was there to opening up the scoring. Michelle, you're down out front at the Cove, assuming your natural position there. First initial thoughts and feelings of the game.
I went in really positive. I had a good feeling that we would win this game. So I think, I was re very positive going into this game, and that positivity paid off. So that's good. I think I was very happy to see Max Burgess scoring not one but two goals. I think that's, ideal situation. I think it was his first start as well since his injury. I think that's great to see as well.
And that little sexy shimmy, you know, thingy me
The titty
bob,
shimmy.
titty shimmy. Everyone's favorite Maxi. But yeah, he played a full game. He got subbed off, but like it was on the 90th minute, so to get a full game from Max, again with some players out with the likes of Mac, etc. Still get a really good result. Didn't start off particularly well, but thankfully, the Stamatolopoulos goal was ruled offside. But we'll jump ahead to our favourite parts of the game with Maxi just kind of pulling the strings, tucking in a bit, turning and releasing Paddy. It was a great run from Pat, and the finish was just sleek, sexy, little nice little dink past the keeper. And I couldn't be happier. And I'm going to try and keep his anonymity, but the Sky Blue Story account said kind of like, fuck the haters, love you, Paddy Wood. And I'm paraphrasing a bit, but Very happy for Pat to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been with us for a long time, and he's been in and out of the starting 11, and I think, coming back into that starting side and getting a goal kind of, keeps people's voices down for a little bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little bit disappointed with the lack of celebration. Not so much from, not from Pat, but in terms of the rest of the team. Like, really, Max was like the only one to really kind of make a beeline over to him, celebrate, and all that kind of stuff, slap his ass or whatever it is. But the rest of the team just kind of sauntered over and, eventually kind of, patted him on the back and stuff like that. I know, just me and a few of the lads that were watching it there, we did notice that. And I thought, hang on, you got done the week before at Unite Round. Team's been up and down a bit this season, new coach, etc. Like, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into things, but I thought that was a little bit disappointing that the celebration and whatnot from the rest of the team wasn't, wasn't more. Then Joe Lolly, trademark goal. Like, hello, everybody. He's going to cut in and
He
put
does
it.
it every game.
Like Court, no offense, guys. We've caught Joe, but like Court looks to beat the player on the outside, user pace. Hello, Joseph is going to cut in and put it on his left foot, his favorite left foot. Have you not figured out that yet and know how to stop it? But yeah. So Joe just doing Joe things, Lolly doing Lolly things, and at the Cove End of all places, which is always very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Yeah.
you're right. He does the same thing all the time. Like, it's not new.
It's not new. But ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. Yeah,
Yeah.
it needs to work more, I guess, more often than it doesn't. But then Max said, hold my beer. And look, Fabio, he got subbed on later in the game for Woody. And he was able to provide service this time with a nice little cross for Maxie to get that big, beautiful, head onto it with those luscious flowing locks of his. And then, if that wasn't enough, just a few minutes later, he nets his second in quick succession. We're a bit of an acute angle, a bit tight to the keeper's
Yeah.
left.
I thought he was going to pass it.
Yeah, so did I. I thought, oh, he'll cut it, play it to somebody, a bit of a square ball. But he said, I don't know, they're up 3-0. The confidence is there, and happy days.
Yeah, I thought it was, I think Fabio was in the middle.
Yeah.
I thought he was just going to pass it off to Fabio, not decide to go for goal himself, but fair
Well,
play. I
it's
mean,
about a week ago when Fabio missed from 6 yards, but so maybe then, all
True.
right, I'll take this one myself. Was that when the
True.
titty shimmy came out? Or was that one, wasn't it? I think.
No, it was the first one.
Okay.
And then I think he did it again
But it
for
sees
the
us
second one.
now jump up to fifth, sitting inside the top six. Pretty good, had a pretty good month under Uffy. Maybe things slightly starting to take hold with what the Talay ball wants to get done. So look, and all four goals were very easy on the eye. At the end of the day, we probably don't care too much how they end up in the back of the net, but it is really nice. And I know I got off my seat for each one of them. And another, we saw a start by Jordan Courtney Perkins. I'll be kind in my words. I think he had his best game for us.
I think most people would say that.
Yes.
He was good. He had a good game.
He did maybe a couple of stray passes, but he was solid, and so much so that Uffie, like I thought, what was that? I thought, instead of Hayden coming on, I thought you might have seen Jordan push into centre back with Gerd Reich on the yellow card, push into centre back with Gabriel, and then have De Jesus, jump over onto the left, or maybe Ryan jump over left back. But I guess that maybe makes too many changes out on the field. So, but happy for the young kid to get his start. Look, would you put that down as our second best performance?
I
First
mean,
in the Adelaide game, Uffie's first ever game.
I don't know if it would be our best performance. I think
one of.
Yeah, I think obviously we scored a lot of goals, but I also don't think Newcastle played very well, and I don't want to discredit our boys and how they played. But I think Newcastle were just always on the back foot and weren't ever. They didn't really test us that much.
Red has little to nothing to do, really.
Yeah. So I think like maybe as a team performance and like, you know, building on like team chemistry, it was probably pretty good. So I think, yeah, like in that sense, then yes, it would be one of our better performances.
I dare say, without being too precise, I dare say we'll see Newcastle in the bottom six somewhere between 7th and 12th this season. So these are the kind of games where we're expected to get 3 points.
Yeah.
It can sometimes in itself be a bit of a banana peel kind of game. You go, oh, yeah, you know, we should get beat these guys. They're kind of below us and whatnot. And you go in there maybe a little bit complacent, whereas the teams at the top, like we'll see this Friday against Victory, you know, it's those games that tend to be easier to get up for because you want to knock off the guys at the top of the table, albeit second because of, you know, the whole stupid thing. But yeah, so look, some SFCU votes. I'll go age before beauty, and it's hard to go past Maxi for 3 and Lolly for 2. And 1-4. I really liked how Jake played. Probably was lucky not to get red carded, or maybe worse, early in the game. That kind of sliding in, study knees kind of thing happening early ish in the game.
They check that one?
Well, you got a yellow for it.
Yeah, but they did a VAR check, and they on the like A League website where it says like the match report and everything, or like the match commentary.
Oh, yeah.
It said VAR. Upgraded card, yellow card. And I was like, but you can't do VAR for a yellow.
Can't you? Okay.
No, it's only for reds.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
A-League not knowing their own rules. But, yeah, I thought Jakey was very good at centre-back. Self, Michelle Morris?
Yeah, I was going to go 3 for Maxi, 2 for Lolly, and 1 for Paddy Wood.
Oh, Patrick, of course. Well done. Thank you for that. Moving ahead, we have a massive Friday, what has become a traditional Australia Day game. Yes, I said Australia Day. Friday the 26th January, down at Amy Park. We'll kick off in chronological order with the girls kicking off at 5 o'clock up against Melbourne Victory. Remind me how they're traveling, Michelle. They'll be what, in third or fourth?
No. Oh my God, no.
What? Where? Hang on.
At last I checked, they were down in 8th.
Are they that?
Okay. Yeah, they've not been. They've not been clicking.
They've got chids. And they're the Zodiac.
They're 6th. They won on the weekend, so they've jumped up, but they were in 8th. Place last week.
Who they beat on the weekend?
Canberra.
Oh, okay. The team that can score a fuckload of goals but can't defend.
Yeah, basically.
I looked at their for and against. It just sort of like Canberra's, I think they've got second most goals scored.
Yeah, they're at 25.
25. But they've conceded like 28 or something.
Yeah.
Mental note, Canberra United coaches and whatnot buy defenders next season. And you should be right. But look, I'm interested for this. You know, we're up against, well, you know, Chidiak, but I want to see some studs up on Rachel Lowe, personally.
Maybe
stud marks left in her.
I don't know if our girls would.
I could see Macca doing that, just dropping the elbow and then smiling. Maybe Tori.
Maybe Tori. Yeah.
Yeah, just drop the knee and drop the elbow. But so without getting ahead of ourselves too much, this is a game we should win. We should, you know.
I mean, well, we have to win. like they're losing against Melbourne. Victory is not an option.
Absolutely.
But I think, because I asked Ante about this at the Members Day thing as well. Basically, Melbourne Victory is not clicking. They've got like three Matilda. They've got Lydia Williams, Emily Gilnick, yeah. Elise Kellen-Knight, and Alex Chidiak on their team, and they're sitting in sixth position. You know, they're not gelling as well as maybe they have in the past, which hopefully is a good thing for us. But with Chidiak and Gilnick both scoring against Canberra, I don't know what that means coming into the game. But yeah, in saying that, we also have our own, you know, growing list of injuries, and hopefully, you know, I imagine Taylor Ray and Abby Lemon will be back. So hopefully that's a good thing more on the sort of defensive side. But we also don't have anyone really who's scoring a ton of goals.
I'm really happy that we're likely to see Abby come back. I think she's been one of our best performers over the last 3 to 4 weeks. I think she's been quite a bit of an unsung hero, especially with her ability to 1 minute play right back and then next minute play right wing. And I think she's even played a bit of nine. She's been a little bit of the misfix it. Okay, so knowing that obviously the Nats and the Lucys and Fionas are out, who are you picking as your starting 11?
I actually really liked how we started against Newcastle, with Prinny as our nine and Indy and Courtney on either side of her. And then it's basically an unchanged back line with Kirsty, Jordan Thompson, Charlotte, and Tori Tumuth. And I think that's probably going to be our best back line. And then obviously we had Shea Holman in the middle, Macca and Maddie Caspers.
So you'd keep that free as is? You wouldn't go, oh, you know, Taylor's back, you know, or you wouldn't?
I mean, I really like it as is. I think bringing Taylor on sometime in the second half would probably be a better option.
And I really like Princess at nine. I think if we're lucky enough to get Fiona back, if we go into semis and whatnot.
No, you know, apparently Ante said that she's out for the season, whole season.
He's not playing politics and word
games. No, he said 4 months.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So I reckon Princess might be a nice number nine. She's got some, you know, I see Prinny. Yeah, she can play last man and off the shoulder and whatnot. She's got some pace on her, but I see her like a nine that can, you know, suck in a couple of defenders, hold the ball, and then, you know, like she played the ball to Courtney a couple of weeks ago for that great ball, great goal. She could be similar. So I'd like to see, you know, Prinny at nine, Courtney out on the right, and then maybe like an Abby Lemon, Indiana. I think she had a solid game on the weekend. If not, maybe who else am I thinking? Oh, well, Shay would probably be my pick when she comes back. But I think, yeah, Princess playing at nine might be a really good shout. I guess it depends on now with Abby and Taylor back. It's the makeup of the bench, which probably is most intriguing, because I think Zara needs to be there. I think Shay being there, you need a defender, so it's probably Margot. So it'd probably be like a bench of, obviously, like, say, Talia, Margot, Abby as your forward, and then two midfielders in Zara and Taylor. Then that leaves 18 out of the picture.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's actually, knocking in goals. She scored the other week at Leichhardt. A couple weeks ago. So, yeah.
A lot of headaches for Ante.
I know. Not going to the game with it. Maybe put 18 on the bench like he did the other week, and not have a defender on the bench. And Abby could be your defender, you know, in inverted commas.
Yeah. Well, we have to also remember Shea Connors is not back yet. Like, she's still got a couple of weeks. So there's already one out. Lucy Johnson still a few more weeks as well. But yeah, I think I hope we will be fine.
Yeah.
I would love another 6-3.
I'm thinking a low scoring game. I think it'll be kind of tight. But I'm gonna say that we'll get the I reckon we'll get the job done 1-0.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love 6-3 again. Even better, 6-0. But yeah, I don't know.
You're gonna have a quick prediction?
No, I'm too scared.
Yeah, you just want 3 points.
I just want 3 points.
Just 3 points over the Scum down south. A few hours later, though, the men will take the field at 7:45 up against the undefeated, the unbeaten, albeit sitting in second, Melbourne Victory, who is still playing some really good football despite no Fornaroli. This will be a real test, probably. Uffy's almost hard. I'll say it. It'll be his hardest test in his short tenure as coach. And it'll be a really kind of telling where our team is at in terms of, you know, we can beat the shittier teams and the teams we should like, the Jets. But if we want to be challenging for silverware even this season, and entrench ourselves inside the top six, we have to be taking points off the likes of Melbourne Victory. Ultimately, ideally, 3 points, but at 1 point minimum. I'll be quite content if we go down there and it finishes 1-0, 0-0, 2-2. Maybe that's a little bit pessimistic for me, but I will feel happy and I'll be able to sleep soundly on Friday night with a draw. What do you reckon? You'd be okay. Are you going down?
I am.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think I don't know. It's one of those weird ones where it's like I guess when we've gone down there the last couple of years, I think it's been pretty positive. So, I'm hoping that there's sort of that. Like no matter how bad we're playing, whatever, that they turn up for Melbourne. So,
both teams could be sitting in 11th and 12th, and it'd still be quite a fiery, affair. Whether you're watching it on telly or at the game.
I spoke to I was at Uffy's press conference today as well. And he was basically like, this club prides itself on winning every game and needing to win every game, and he's like, we've already dropped 6 points against them. And he's like, I will not be dropping any more points against Melbourne Victory this season. So he's pretty fired up for it, and which is good. And I appreciate a coach who, hates them just as much as we all do. I think... I don't know. I'm feeling pretty confident, to be honest. And I think that's just because the mood right now at Sydney seems to be pretty positive.
Yeah. And look, Uffy's played in those big blues. So, nobody would understand the hatred and the history and the need to walk away with 3 points and beat your most, probably, I dare say, our most bitter rivals, at least ones we've had a longer tradition with than the other pricks out west. But they've got the likes of, Ryan T, kind of, he's playing some good football. And of course, Azani, who's, he's not in a shout to ever make Socceroos, but he's certainly performing very well since joining the Victory. For us, though, we will find out in the next day or two about ins and outs, but we'll certainly see. So, no Jack Rotwell, of course, but we'll see Gabriel and Jacob right centre back. I thought Ryan, despite us kind of not mentioning him, like he had an all right game on the weekend. So we'll see Ryan. I probably would like to see Ryan and De Jesus, Ryan jumping over to left back, which he has done on occasions, and then De Jesus. I think just Zach kind of gives us more options going forward. gives us a bit more variety and attack. Another means for us to kind of, you know, get the ball into that in and around that our attacking third. So that's what I would prefer. In the midfield, Bratz, AC, and who else was in the midfield on the weekend? Bratz, AC. So it wasn't Max. Who am I thinking?
Wouldn't it have been Max?
Oh, Corey Holman. Of course. And I thought Corey had a solid game. But, yeah, Max with up front and Lolly and Wood. I reckon, you know, that's albeit the change that I would make with Zach and JCP, with Jordan Courtney and Perkins, I'm confident that I reckon Wolfie will just go, look, starting 11 did well, got us in a good position. I think that starting 11 will stay. Might be some change on the bench, but otherwise, I think it will be an unchanged lineup. Although I said I think I'd be more than happy with a draw, I think we could snag a win. I think something it'll be tight though. I think like 2-1 is what I'm thinking the score will be.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fair. Robbie Mack was back in training today as well.
Yes, and I did read that he's a possibility for like a 20, 30 minute cameo. I read that in some of the.
Yeah, Uffie said he will be on managed minutes or something like that. So, yes, I think we might see him in the second half.
Which, look, to have Robbie Mack, you know, have a 20 odd minute stint at the back of the game is not a bad thing. I think that might kind of set a bit of fear into victory players. So I'm thinking 2-1. You're thinking about 2-1.
Yeah.
You'll be flying down probably, what, Thursday night, maybe Friday morning?
Friday morning, 6 a.m., tried to change my flights to Thursday afternoon, and they were at $400 more than that. And I was like, I am not willing to pay an extra $500 just to fly on Thursday night instead of
Cozzy
Friday
lives,
morning.
Man. Cozzy lives.
Yeah, so I'll stick to my 6 a.m. flight on Friday morning.
And I'll check you out on my Flight Radar app. I'll see you fly past my place. Wave goodbye. But there we go. There's our preview for this Friday's game. So if you, well done for those like Michelle that are heading down there for the game. Otherwise, catch all the action on shitty Paramount. Now, Michelle, I have prepared a Who's That Sydney FC player.
No, I'm so bad at this.
Yes, you are, and that's why I want to do it again. For a chance for you to redeem yourself, I think as this self-proclaimed super fan, I've got a player ready. And look, if you don't get this, I will be disappointed. And I think you'll just be fan, Michelle fan Morris, and the super will be removed from you. Are you ready?
Well, no one calls me a super fan for my ball knowledge.
For your cheering and sheer love of the team.
Exactly.
Look, I'm confident that you can get this.
All right. Is this a men's or a women's player?
Women's. Women's, I think.
Okay.
It could be fair to say your knowledge is a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Differentiated the curriculum to support your learning needs.
Thanks. Doing better than my teachers.
Up there at Manly Way. I'm going to go through all of them.
Okay.
So people can play at home.
And then I'll write in the chat.
Yeah, write in the chat. Write in the chat when you're ready.
Okay.
Write in the chat whenever your heart desires. All right. She kicked off at Sydney FC.
Okay.
Then she moved to the Wanderers.
Yeah.
Okay. Then a very short stint with Western New York Flash.
Random team. Okay.
Then she came back to us for a few seasons, 2-3 seasons. And then she went to Melbourne City.
So Sydney,
Wanderers,
West Sydney,
New York Flash, Back to us.
And to
Then off to
City.
City. Then after City, she went to, and part of my pronunciation with this Spanish word, Valerenga. Valerenga? Valerenga.
Okay.
Do you want me to spell it?
No, 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 that's okay.
Then she came back to us again. Back to Sydney FC. And then she exchanged sky blue for navy blue, going to the Victory.
I have to get this.
And then she went back to the city. Back to Melbourne City, that is. And then she went to the Wanderers again. So,
oh my God.
So she's.
This is like the worst person on the planet. Do I like this player?
I think so. So she's had three stints with us. She's had two with the Wanderers, two with City, one with Victory, and then she finished off her A-League Women's A-League Women's. It was A-League Women's by then, and of course 2023 with the Jets. So Michelle, any idea who?
Wait, she had a stint with who? What was the last bit?
Jets. Oh no, she look. It's not on the official list, but I'm well aware that she had a bit of NPL time, New South Wales NPL with RPL Leichhardt.
Is it?
No, but she would have played. Oh look, I'll say that out loud because we're at the very end of the list. But she would have
Yeah.
played with Lizzie, and that's not a bad shout. She definitely would have had some time with Lizzie Rolston. And I will say, in terms of position on the park, she's one of those. She is a defender.
A defender. Oh my God, who has played this many games for us?
She had a bit of time with the Australian under 17s and under 20s as well.
I feel like I know this player and I'm going to be really annoyed.
Yep, and you
So
will.
she's finished her career, so she's done.
She's done. Oh, sorry, that Valerenga is actually a Norwegian team. Valerenga.
Why'd you say Spanish?
I just sounded Spanish, I just assumed. Does that not sound Spanish? Valerenga, Valerenga.
No.
She's a defender.
When did she finish? Wait, what was the last year? 2023?
15 games, 15 appearances, no goals. She's a defender after all. 5'6", middle name Jacqueline.
Oh, no. Born in 94, that's only a year older than me.
Yeah.
Are they currently at the Jets?
I don't believe so. I think I would have seen her play on Sunday if she had been.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm having a mental blank.
I think you shouldn't. Are you going to wave the white flag?
No, not yet. So we have. Who's currently in? Who have we had in defense? Oh my God. Are they Australian? Oh, yeah, you said they played for
Aussie,
7
very
months.
much Aussie. Yeah, very much.
Is it Tash Pryor?
No.
Oh no, Tash Pryor's currently playing.
Yeah, she's at Jets. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I want another hint. Give me another hint.
All right, Michelle. All right. 15 when she started with us back in 09.
I had Alana Kennedy, but she didn't play at the
coached
Jets.
Coached by Stadge. Played with the likes of Kyron and Olsena. And they can't, I think she was with City when they won their first or their back-to-back championships. I think she was with City, Melbourne City then. And they
No,
beat.
I don't know. Who is it?
Because you'll know this name.
Yeah.
T.A.
Tegan Allen?
Michelle,
Yeah.
Tegan Allen, yes, you are I'm correct.
She is playing. She currently plays for the Jets.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't with them on Sunday.
I swear she was.
Was she on the bench or something?
Oh, no, I was thinking of someone else.
Maybe that's it. Sean was right.
Yeah, she announced her retirement last year.
There you go.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. All right, that's you're none from two when it comes to who's a CFC player and when Sean's quizmaster.
I'm just not very good at this.
I'll give you a very easy one next time. Or you give me one. Come on, next time, next week, I'll give you a month or whatever to prepare. Try and stump me.
Yeah, I would love to. I did the first time.
But there you go. I hope everyone was listening at home and playing along. Maybe your knowledge of W League/A League women's is marginally better than Michelle's.
Probably.
Yes, it was the one and only Tegan Allen, who, how many? Three stints with us, two with City, two with Wanderers, one with Victory. She gets around a bit. Anyway. Thank you, Michelle, for joining me this evening. Friday morning, you'll be heading down to Melbourne for the traditional Australia Day game. All the best with your travels. Safe travels.
Thanks.
Jono and the lads will be back next week. And Slowey, there you go. There's an episode for you to watch as you're sitting on the dunny at the moment of a morning, probably the only time you get to yourself with a couple of kids running around your ankles. But yes, Lowe was very disappointed. A lot of vitriol, words that I've never heard before. That because we didn't do an episode last week, but we're back, Slow. Thank you very much for everyone listening. I've been Sean Maloney. That has been Michelle Morris. All the best to the guys and girls this week. This Friday up against Melbourne Victory, hoping for a 6-point Friday. And you can catch us again next week.